Welcome to the Free Stretch Divisional Playoff Edition here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton coming at you this week, and we're transitioning a little bit on the show. We're going to still be here. The show's not going anywhere, but the Bucks season now being over, there's no game to even recap. All we're looking ahead to at this point, just strictly from a Bucks standpoint, is the draft. And so this show's going to transition, and I'm actually kind of excited about it. Because if you know me or if you've listened to this show, you know I like to talk about stuff. I like to talk about my opinions. I have opinions on many, many things. Sports, non-sports, Bucks, non-Bucks. And I enjoy talking about them. So I did some of that, of course, during the season too. But now without the Bucks being active, there'll be a lot more of the true definition of the free stretch, which is just a 20 to 30 to 40 somewhere in there minute potpourri of whatever's on our mind and whatever happens to be going on. But for now, we do still have football. And so we're getting down to it here. I mean, we've got now 8 teams left. That means we have 7 games left. The national championship on Monday night in college football was spectacular. We're going to talk about that on the show today. I want to talk about the wild card playoff games. And we'll go game by game and just, you know, give our thoughts on that real quick. And I always use the royal we, which is why I keep saying we and our, because I'm talking to you. All of us are talking right now, even though I'm the one actually talking. And then we'll look at the divisional matchups, which I think is going to be really fun. I think personally, and again, the Bucks aren't playing, I know, but this is always the best football weekend of the year for the NFL. Because you've got 4 playoff games, which wild card weekend's right there too, but you've got the big boys now. You've got teams that have either won a game or had a first round bye. So you're kind of separating the wheat from the chaff a little bit, if you will. But a quick word first on the end of college football season. As you may or may not know, and of course football by far is my favorite sport. I love a bunch of sports. I'm a big baseball fan. Grew up playing baseball. Fell in love with hockey when we got the Lightning when I was a kid in 1992. A big golf fan. Looking forward to, you know, I was watching Kapalua this past week and everything. That's kicking off again now. Triple Crown horse racing is a personal favorite of mine. Everything. College basketball. But football's my favorite. Now, out of football, like, it's almost 1 and 1A with college and the NFL because I love football. But college football is nearest and dearest to my heart. I love college football. And I'm fond of saying quite frequently, because it gives me reasons to say it quite frequently, college football is the most entertaining sport on the planet. It just is. I mean, the NFL, again, I love both, but just for sheer entertainment value, the drama, week in, week out, and not just football drama, but just the drama in general. I mean, people talk about reality TV like Survivor or The Bachelor or things like that. Sports is the ultimate reality TV. There is no other medium. There is no other genre, I should say, no other format of television like sports. And there's a reason sports dominates the ratings, football mainly, but all live sports. And it's because you're seeing a drama unfold that nobody knows the outcome of beforehand. And that while maybe it isn't important in the grand scheme of the world, you're seeing people's fortunes, you're seeing people's hopes and dreams unfold before you successfully and most definitely unsuccessfully every night. You know, when you watch the World Series with the Astros and the Dodgers, and you see a guy up there, you know, with 2 outs, the series about to be closed out, and he gets a big hit with 2 strikes, the final strike maybe of the series, and he extends the game, you're seeing that pitcher fail on the grandest stage. You're seeing that batter do something as gutsy and ballsy as anything you'll see. I mean, that stuff like that. And whether it's football, baseball, basketball, I mean, March Madness, again, you'll see kids crying with tears of joy. You'll see kids crying tears of pain. You'll see coaches, professions hired and fired based on what's happening in these games. And it all plays out like this big human drama. So, you know, they talk about reality TV. sports is reality TV. We've had it for a long time. It didn't start with Survivor or American Idol or any of those other things. And college football, among all of them, to me, when you throw in, first of all, I mean, football's football. I love football at any, I love watching high school football. But when you throw in the marching bands and the campus stadiums and the fan bases and how passionate they can be, and you throw in, again, just the sheer wildness of any number of games every weekend, and college football has an advantage because there are so many games. I mean, college football has its share of snoozers, just like the NFL, but in week five of the NFL, you get 14 games, and that's it. And if you don't have any particularly good games that weekend, or the slate ends up not being very entertaining, well, people, oh, the NFL sucks, this Thursday night game sucked, this Sunday night game sucked. You know, that happens sometimes. In college football, there's going to be something every week. There's a million of them out there. And another reason, and this is something the NFL, I mean, NFL fans should demand this, but we've gotten so used to it that we can't think of it any other way. These windows, 1 p.m., 4 p.m., here's one game, here's maybe two if you're lucky we'll give you. Literally every Division I football game at this point is on TV somewhere. Most of them, you can see them all nationally, but they're all on TV somewhere. So on a college football Saturday, starting at noon, there's windows. I mean, they have loose windows, the noon window, the 3:30 window, the 7:30 window, you know, then there's the, but there's 7 o'clock, 6, there'll be a couple games at 4. There's always games going on all day long, and you can flip around to all of them at your free will. You're not locked in. Hey, who are they showing in the 3:30 slot? Okay, we get Ohio State, Penn State. What about Georgia and Tennessee? Oh, nope, that one's not, you know, that's how the NFL does it. Not, college doesn't do it that way. College, you can watch them all. You're surfing your phone. Hey, this is a close game. Click, let me go over there. I'm there in 2 seconds. I'm watching it. In the NFL, unless you have Sunday Ticket, which I don't and won't have, I'm not paying that kind of money for something that, again, it admittedly is great, but it's just not worth it. And even Red Zone. I know people rave about Red Zone. I spent week 17 in South Florida visiting my in-laws, and my father-in-law does have Red Zone. And I don't have it, so like it was a new experience for me getting to watch Red Zone. I've watched it before, but it was great watching Red Zone. I mean, I really was. I loved having it, but I wouldn't. I mean, maybe if I didn't have kids and I actually could sit down and watch TV for 3 hours straight, I would invest in it. But it's so hard for me to do that anyway that I don't have Red Zone. And even so, sometimes I want to choose which game I'm going to go to. Red Zone does a pretty good job of getting you where you would like to be. But, you know, it's still not the same as just being able to watch every game anytime you want, flipping over, live action, boom, boom, boom. Red Zone can only show you one at a time. I know they do the split window sometimes. Point is, college football has all that, and again, NFL's got some good games too, but just for whatever reason, I don't know why this is, whether it's the rules, which aren't really that much different than the NFL, or whether it's the high variance in skill. Like in the NFL, there's a very fine line. Even the best players and the not-so-great NFL players are all pretty close. You know, you're talking about the top half of the top tenth of a percent. They're even from top to bottom, there's very little variance. In college, you got wide variance. And I don't just mean between Southeast Missouri State and Alabama. I just mean, like, you might have an NFL first-round pick safety on the field, and you might have a wideout who's playing because another guy got hurt, and he's a walk-on, and, you know, and you'll see busted coverages and this, and just crazy stuff happening. I mean, that championship on Monday night was insane, and that was the championship game. And the game before that, Georgia-Oklahoma, to get to the championship game, was insane. And there were 100 other games this season, every week. I'm telling you, college football, I mean, no sport brings it from wire to wire like that. From the opening kickoff on Labor Day weekend, all the way to the final play of the entire college football season, no sport brings it that hard, that consistently. College football is the most entertaining sport in the world. So watching on Monday night, I mean, just fantastic television. I talked to so many people the past couple of days that were unable to stay up late. I mean, for me, I would never miss something like that. I mean, I was going to, especially, you know, if you're watching a game and it ends up being kind of a dud, you know, maybe third quarter, fourth quarter, you kind of sneak out a little early and go to bed. This game on Monday was actually not a great game in the first half, but
at no point did I consider, and it wasn't just me, I mean, I got my brother-in-law living with us, we got my wife, me, and, you know, these were, it was late, I mean, we go to bed earlier than that on normal nights, but we were all just, I mean, we had all the lights on, we were making noise, we almost woke the kids up on that final touchdown pass. You know, Alabama going to their backup quarterback, true freshman, in the middle of a title game after their starter had gotten him, what was it, 25-2? But he wasn't getting it done that night, and Saban makes him, I mean, just unbelievable. Like, this is stuff that when people write movies, they don't come up with stuff as good as the stuff that actually happens every week. So, and I'm a Gator, so it wasn't easy watching two other SEC teams play for the title, but a few series into the game, it didn't bother me. And I was definitely not rooting for Georgia. I mean, I wasn't rooting hard for Alabama or anything, but as a Gator, I don't believe that we need Georgia winning anything. I don't think that helps us in any way. And even them losing, Georgia's humming right now with recruiting and all that stuff. But the point is, sometimes all that stuff just gets put aside and you're just gripped, just entertained. And that was just really entertaining. And that's what sports is supposed to be at this point. And I've learned that. You know, when I was younger, I used to think the fate of the world wrote on these games and the outcomes of these games. You know, you get older, you understand. You've got a life to lead. Your wife, your kids, your house, your bills, your errands, your job, whatever, all that stuff. It ain't going to go away or get any easier or better or worse or anything like that, depending on the outcome of the Bucks game or the Gator game or FSU or whatever you're a fan of. You know, it's entertainment, but you still have a life to lead. But man, is it a great diversion from, I mean, that was really fun Monday night. And Alabama gets the national title. And for all the people that said, oh, I'm going to boycott, I'm so sick of the SEC, blah, blah, blah. I'm an absolutely unabashed SEC homer. But I don't even consider myself a homer because the results are there. And I know the SEC hasn't been as good the past few years as it has been in other years. But, you know, you get to the playoff and everybody bitches about having two SEC teams in the championship game. Well, Martin Fennelly wrote the column this week. I think it was Martin Fennelly. Might have been Tom Jones. I don't want to get him mixed up. But he said, you know, can't join the SEC, try beating it. And it's true. Beat them. Oklahoma could have beaten Georgia. Clemson could have beaten Alabama. They didn't. SEC wins again. You know, Clemson beat Alabama last year. Good for them. They won the title. Alabama got them the year before. I mean, beat them. Now, UCF at least has a legitimate complaint, and we could get into that whole thing. I could do a whole show on all that, but, you know, these other teams, they beat them, and UCF did beat Auburn. Beat them. So until then, that's, what is it, 9 of the last 12 now, SEC National Championships. Congrats to Alabama. Say what you want. You gotta tip your hat. So with that said, now college football season's over. There's 231 days to go until the next college football game. And yes, I am counting. But we had wild card weekend before all that. So, looking at the four games, and there wasn't, until the Carolina-New Orleans finish, really a great game. I mean, even though the Chiefs-Titans game was a close game, and it was a game that the Titans came back to win in the very late stages, it still didn't feel like a great game for whatever reason. Maybe it's because I couldn't take either team seriously. As far as Mariota goes, you know, hats off to him. I mean, he did a great job leading a comeback, made some plays. His overall numbers weren't that great. I still would take Winston over him in a heartbeat. And I've heard people talking about how, oh, yeah, Mariota might be the top young quarterback in the league outside of Carson Wentz. Easy, okay? He had more picks than touchdowns this year. And he's good. I mean, I'm not saying he's not good, but if there was a redraft right now, I mean, it would take me less than 1 millisecond to draft Winston ahead of him all over again. Never mind the durability issues, which I still worry long-term about Mariota getting hurt more often. I know Winston was hurt this year. Anybody could get hurt, but, you know, with his style, we'll see. But anyway, that game was very poorly officiated, and I was very bothered by Jeff Triplett's crew blowing dead the sack fumble that should have been at least a Chiefs ball, much less maybe a Chiefs, you know, scoop and score. And of course, it only happened early in the second quarter, but it ends up factoring huge late. Then Triplett immediately retires, which that was good. But that game, eh. Atlanta and the Rams, eh. Buffalo-Jacksonville, borderline unwatchable. And then we get to Carolina, New Orleans, which saved Wild Card Weekend. There was real drama there. Teams going back and forth. Every time the Saints got what you thought was an insurance score, Carolina would get closer, and they needed another insurance score, the Saints. And then finally, Carolina got the ball back with a chance to win the game. And they came up short. I mean, it was a big stop by the Saints defense. And, I mean, I'll admit, I fully wrote that game off as soon as Carolina got the ball back when the Saints missed their fourth down. I was like, well, that's it. The Saints defense won't stay up. And they did. Now, what I want to talk about that game is something that's been coming up a lot lately with football. And, of course, there's the concussion protocol. Cam Newton took a lick. It wasn't on the final series, but it was in the fourth quarter. And got up all wobbly. His eyes looked all messed up. And, you know, later they would say, oh, he got poked in the eye, and that's what it was. And, of course, all the concussion experts on Twitter always jump out every time someone takes a big hit. And, oh, well, the concussion protocol, he shouldn't be in the game. Folks, first of all, I'm all for the concussion protocol. Absolutely 100% all for it. Of course. I mean, who wouldn't be? But I think people need to have realistic expectations of what something like that is going to do. Because when the star quarterback, not a linebacker or a safety or even a wideout or even a running back, the star quarterback gets a hit that looks like one that should keep him out of the game while they do all their tests, except it's not the second quarter in some week four matchup, it's the fourth quarter of a playoff game where your season's about to be over. If that quarterback can get up and walk around and he feels good to go, spare me your righteous indignation. Oh, how could they not be examining him? Do you honestly think, I mean, don't, like, you know, it's almost like you think we're stupid. There is no chance, and I am fine with it, there is no chance someone like Cam Newton in that spot where he needs to go back on the field to lead the potential game-winning drive is going to say, oh, dude, you know, I feel okay now, I'm good, but let's stick to the protocol. Derek Anderson, you go out there and take this one, buddy. I'm going to go watch somebody's fingers for a couple minutes. You take the potential game-winning drive to save our season that we've been working for since OTAs in March. You go out there and take this one. I'm going to go over here and take a little test about what day it is and who the president is and this, that, and the other. And if you happen to get it done, maybe I'll come back in if we go to overtime or something like that. Do you honestly think that's going to happen? I mean, come on. Like, be realistic with yourselves. And I don't blame Cam Newton one bit, and I don't blame the Panthers one bit. I'd be thinking of something, too. What can we say? Can we say his eye got poked? It kind of looks like his eye got poked. Say that. Cam, you good? I'm not going to make you go out there, Cam, but do you want to go out? Yes. Okay, go. And he did. He almost. And the same thing happened a few years ago. What Super Bowl was it? It was the Patriots. It was the Patriots Seahawks one. It was the Malcolm Butler interception game. But before that, Julian Edelman got rocked on a hit. And everyone's like, oh, concussion protocol. How is he out there? It's the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl. I could give two bleeps about the concussion protocol. And neither could he. And guess what happened? He caught the winning touchdown pass in the freaking Super Bowl. But the concussion protocol nerds, oh, well, he should be on the sideline. You know what? Again, week four, second quarter, yes, go to the sideline, do your thing. Fourth quarter of the Super Bowl, you can test me in 20 minutes after this whole thing is over, because this thing will be over in 20 minutes. And I'm not saying, you know, they should be made to go out there. If he wants to go do through the protocol, fine. But don't act surprised when somebody skirts the protocol in the most clutch moment of not just a game or a season, but their career, their life. I mean, Julian Edelman, for the rest of his life, caught the game-winning touchdown pass in the Super Bowl. Now, I'm not saying that's worth trading your health for, but what I am saying is it's 10 minutes of football. You know, it wasn't like it was all... I'd go out there for a couple more series and run the small risk. You know, again, you're not exposing yourself for that long. If I'm on the game-winning drive on offense for the Super Bowl, I'm going to go out there and roll the dice just for, you know, an 8 to 10 play series that I won't get hurt again, and maybe I'll even make a game-winning play in the Super Bowl. That's what happened. Cam Newton, same thing. It's not like he got a concussion and he's going to go out there and play, you know, the next 3 hours or 15 straight weeks or something. He's got maybe 10 minutes left in his season. He's going to go out there and finish it. And if he ends up losing, well, he's got the whole offseason now to go through his protocol. If he ends up winning, you know, they can worry about it on Monday. But, I mean, I'm on Twitter, like, at the end of that Saints-Panthers game, and everybody's like, yeah, I know he should be going through the protocol, but people are acting genuinely surprised that he wasn't. I would have been absolutely stunned. I would have been floored if he had gone through it. So the concussion protocol is a great framework, and I absolutely believe in it, but there needs to be some room to move. And it's kind of like the speed limit. Like, I believe in speed limits, but I don't believe that somebody should get pulled over for going 76 when the speed limit's 70. And honestly, that happens pretty rarely. They don't do it. So I'm fine with having it as long as the enforcers use some discretion at the right times. Now, if Cam Newton got hit to the point where, like, he literally was like, oh my God, like, he's, you know, then he would have come out. But he got up. He was fine. He shook it off. He said, look, I'm good. He's going to go back out there. Like, y'all need to accept that. And I'm fine with that. Again, if it, different situations call for different action. I'm a big believer in that. Some people say, oh, well, rules are rules, and it shouldn't matter what the situation is. You go by the rules. I'm not a rules person, folks. Or I should say this. This is what I should actually say. Some people are letter of the law people. I'm a spirit of the law people. And I have a hard time understanding letter of the law people. I've always thought, and I'm not saying this to insult anybody, I've always thought of letter of the law people as people whose brains just couldn't process a complex world. Like, they just have their rule book and that's what it says and we're just going to go with that. You know, the world's a crazy place. Sometimes it's black and white, and that's great when it is. It makes things easy, but a lot of times it's gray. And letter of the law people, they kind of get on my nerves, I'll be honest with you, because they're always, oh, well, it says, I know what it says, okay? It's like when you, like, sneaking on to, like, sometimes me and my friends used to like to sneak into stadiums when we visited a college campus, we'd sneak on the field, whatever, and there's always the one guy, oh, well, the sign says no trespass. I know it says no trespassing. They're not going to come and arrest us, okay? We're just going to go and leave. It'll be 20 minutes, just want to go see the inside of the stadium. We'd sneak in. You know, but the sign clearly says that we're I know what it says, okay? Stop it. Same thing with this. I know what the concussion protocol said. Ron Rivera, Cam Newton, they all know what it says. We're good, thanks. So that's me. I'm a spirit of the law guy. Same with speed limits. Like, it, I think 70 is a pretty low speed on the interstate, and nobody really drives it. I'm okay with the speed limit being 70 as long as they don't enforce it until you get to around 80, which is how it works, and that's fine. Now, if the speed limit was 70 and they were very strict and they wrote you tickets for going 74, then I would campaign for a higher speed limit. But since they don't, it's not a big deal to me. Spirit of the law, not letter of the law. Spirit of the law, let's be safe, let's not do anything crazy. Letter of the law, a little excessive. So, you know, it's one of those things, just do it and ask for forgiveness later. If you ask permission, you'll never get it. And the Cam Newton thing, I mean, I would have been, like I said, completely 100% utterly shocked if he comes out of that football game at that point. Now, if he wants to, I mean, you know, these guys shouldn't be ever forced to do anything that could jeopardize their health. If he wants to come out or if he wants to go through the protocol, fine. But if he says, hey, I'm good, and he's up there walking around talking, he's going back out there. Stop acting like he's not. So that was the thing I thought about the most with that game. That was what I wanted to talk about. But I, again, hats off to the Saints defense. When he, I mean Newton now, completed the first couple passes on that drive, I mean, boom, boom, they were in Saints territory just like that. I gave the Saints almost no chance to keep Carolina out of the end zone. I thought it was just a foregone conclusion. And the Saints stood up. So now we got four games this weekend. And it's going to be fun on the NFC side. On the NFC side, honestly, I have no idea. I mean, that's four teams, all with a 25% chance of being the Super Bowl representative, whether it's Philly, Minnesota, Atlanta, or the Saints. I mean, it's going to be fun. AFC, I think we all think it's going to be Patriots, Steelers. And maybe, it's just really hard for me to envision the Titans winning the game in Foxborough. It will be something to see, though. It's the first time the Patriots have played since that whole ESPN article about what may or may not be going on with Belichick and Brady and Kraft and all that. But I don't think it changes anything. And I don't give the Titans very much chance there. If I'm wrong, I'll admit it on the next podcast. Now, I do give the Jags a fighting chance, and I know they went up there and won one time already. I still don't think they're going to win again, but that would surprise me less. I mean, you're talking about Blake Bortles going on the road in January in Pittsburgh and winning a playoff game. Odds don't seem great. Odds don't seem great for either of the AFC underdogs, but I would give the Jags at least a fighting chance with that defense. And the Steelers at times this year have looked very beatable. And I know earlier in the year, it's a long time ago now, really in the NFL when you're talking about the playoffs, you almost have to just forget anything that happened before week 6 or 7. But remember how bad Roethlisberger looked? Remember? I think in one of his post-game interviews, he was like genuinely baffled. He was like, maybe I'm done. Maybe I don't have it anymore. I mean, he actually said something like that. I'm paraphrasing it, but he was like, man, yeah, I don't know what happened. I did my best, and I don't have it right now. And yeah, that seems like about a million years ago. But either way, that's what point spreads are for if we want to keep things interesting, right? So, the Titans getting 14 all of a sudden, you got to think about that. And so that's what we're looking at coming up. As far as the Bucks go, and we do have the draft. There's going to be so much draft talk. Let me just say this now. We have on JoeBucksFan.com, I mean, this podcast network is phenomenal. I'm just lucky to be a part of it. I'm just happy to be here. I'm happy that Joe's deemed my work in the past worthy of being in this lineup. Justin is unbelievable with the draft. He does, I listen to him. I've been listening to him for years. Love to hear his takes. You've got, of course, Ira, Jeff Cameron, everybody else, Tom Lang, all those guys. Phenomenal. So I'll do some draft stuff as we get closer, but I'm not one of these like 4-month draft guys. I'm already seeing mock drafts and stuff like that. And to me, that is mental masturbation. And hey, maybe you're saying, yeah, so what? Mental masturbation is good. Go for it. But I'm not going to sit here and like, oh, well, today and this week's, I've already seen like there's guys on Twitter who are doing mock drafts like every 3 or 4 days now. Like anything is changing. It's like, what are you? And they're like, well, we're not trying to predict the picks so much as just get conversation going. I really don't need to talk this to death for 4 months. When we get closer, we'll do draft stuff. But until then, let's just let it breathe for a little bit. There's plenty of things to talk about. I'm going, all over the map. We're still in the NFL playoffs right now. But even when that ends, there's going to be plenty of things, and the free stretch is going to be a really fun show to listen to. You're going to have access to my dimension, okay? And I don't even know where it's going. I'm not kidding. It could go anywhere. That's why it's called the free stretch. That's the original reason I named it this. It's going to be a lot of fun. As for now, though, I want to thank everybody for listening. As far as the 4 games go, just enjoy. Again, you got these games, and they're the best time of year. They're the best games of the year, and yet always in the back of my mind, all right, 7 more to go. 6 more to go. And once we get down to the conference championships, oh my God, we got 3 more games to go. 3! And then the Super Bowl will be 1 game, and that'll be it for football for a while. Even tonight, I'm recording this on Wednesday night. There was no Lightning game tonight. The Gators had a basketball game. That was something. There sure as hell ain't any football on in the middle of the week anymore. And it's like, I'm at home here like, what's going on? I guess I should get some things done and do some stuff with my life. Which I did tonight, in addition to doing this. But I could have really used, anything. Toledo and Akron and Maction. Which everybody makes fun of Maction, on a Tuesday, Wednesday night in the Mac. Come back and talk to me in April. All of a sudden, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Give me Northern Illinois and Ball State. I'll crawl through the desert just to watch 1/4 of that stuff. When there's nothing else to go around. People make fun of the Pro Bowl, too. Yuck it up with the Pro Bowl. That's the second to last game. Ain't no games after that but the Super Bowl. And with it being in Orlando, by the way, I'm not going to drive to Orlando for it, but if somebody gave me free tickets, I might consider it. Just because that's a sports bucket list thing, right? Well, I shouldn't even say sports bucket list. Because if I die having never gone to a Pro Bowl, I don't think that'll be one of the things I think of on my deathbed. But it's a sports resume thing. Like, it's just something, hey, I've been to a Pro Bowl. Let me cross that off. Although a Pro Bowl in Hawaii is different than a Pro Bowl in Orlando. Almost doesn't count. We'll have some Gasparilla coverage in the coming weeks. We'll have, hey, semi-pro football coverage of my team, the Dunedin Pirates, who begin our regular season in the Florida Football Alliance on Gasparilla weekend. And we're practicing right now. We just came off. We had a preseason game, which I think I talked about a couple shows ago, how I got dinged up. I don't think I talked about that, actually. So anyway, I'll talk more about that, but we had a preseason game. I've been playing safety. We were short on guys. I'm 6 feet, 205 pounds, which is obviously not, I mean, bigger than the average person, maybe, but not huge. But in semi-pro football, there's not as, the guys aren't as, there's big guys, but not a ton of size. And we were short on guys, and they said when I got there, hey, need you at D-end today. I said, what, D-end? I played defensive end, and then I played some outside linebacker in that game. I've never played either of those positions in my life. I'm a wideout by trade. Moved to safety because I'm older now, and I'm not as fast as I used to be. And let me tell you something, folks. You know, I thought I knew what it was like to play football, having played wideout. It's a whole different deal in those trenches, man. That was, I've been around the game all my life. That was the first time I've ever taken snaps up there, that close to the ball. I had bruises on my arms, my bicep, my wrist, all the bones in my hands. I mean, all these little things, and you don't even know when they happen. It's not like, oh, yeah, that's from when that guy did this in the second. No, it's not like that. Like, after the game, you just, like, my whole upper body, like, yoke. My collarbone, chest, upper arms just hurt. And I have a newfound respect for guys that play up there all game long, 16 straight weeks. That's punishing. I used to say, these guys that complain about Thursday night football, I'd say, well, what's the big deal? I mean, you have a short week, but you don't have to practice as much. When I was in high school, I just didn't like practice. We could have played a game every night. I wouldn't have cared because then we would have had practice. Practice sucks. But now I understand. Like, now, truly, I understand now. Like, being a wideout who's sparingly used is actually pretty easy on your body compared to playing every snap of a game on defense at defensive end and outside linebacker. Like, I get it now. So that was an eye-opening experience. We won the game 9-8, and the game was called in the fourth quarter after the other team called us dirty and left. And I'm not making that up. They said, bleep y'all, y'all are dirty. They got all their guys, and they went to the bus, and they drove away. We didn't finish the game. It was a team from Leesburg. So I'm counting that as a preseason win, but whatever. The real season starts coming up on Gasparilla Saturday, and we're playing a team from Jacksonville. If you want to check out more information, go to DunedinPirates.com. If you want to play for us, and I'm dead serious about this right now, if you want to play for us, and we need guys, I mean, you know, we got me playing defensive end, so what does that tell you? Go to the website or email me. My email is bobbygameday@yahoo.com. You don't have to be like an ex-college player or anything. I'm certainly not. If you want to play real live football with pads, if you want to get that feeling back again, you can do that in this league. And our head coach is Ernest Givens, the former wide receiver for the Oilers from St. Petersburg, still the leading all-time receiver in Oilers/Titans history, still to this day. I mean, you're getting first-rate NFL-quality coaching, and that's one thing I've been really pleased with this year, is, you know, most of these semi-pro teams, you just kind of get together, and maybe there's a few coaches, but you're kind of doing your own thing. Ernest Givens is coaching us, and he has a staff of people that are coaching us. And we're learning, like, you know, things that they did in the run-and-shoot offense with Jerry Glanville, Warren Moon. Like, we're learning that stuff. It's really neat. Like, it really is. So if you're interested, DunedinPirates.com. Email me if you want to, BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com, or get me on Twitter at BobbyGameDay. Thanks again to the Joes for hosting this podcast. Enjoy divisional playoff weekend. Again, it's one of the best weekend of the year in the NFL, with four games against, you know, eight quality teams now. And the big boys are starting to roll. Next week will be fun too. And even though we're getting down to the end of it, just savor it all. We got 7 football games left, folks. 4 this weekend, 2 the weekend after that, and 1 2 weeks after that, the Super Bowl in Minnesota. But until next week, I am Bobby Fenton. That is the Free Stretch on JoeBucksFan.com. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, and go Bucks.